Hi everybody, this is Wob from A Shot of Weeb, here with Seaweed as usual. This is going to be a little bit of a different thing than usual. As we were recording this episode, we decided to be a little bit unfair not to give this a tiny bit of a preface.
Mm-hmm.
It's... Given the nature of episodes where we go in on a show that neither of us have seen before, doubly so when it's involving a movie, like this episode is... Sometimes we guess wrong.
Yeah. And as you can tell by the runtime of this episode, this was one of those times.
Just a little bit. Yeah, this turned into one of those where, like, it was kind of hard to really dig into because the consensus was... Well, there's a little bit of a spoiler, but the consensus was generally along the lines of... Yeah, it wasn't great.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really give us much room to work with.
Yeah, because it's not enough for us to just shit all over it, and it's not enough for us to, like, one of us to love it and, like, tell the other one, no, you're wrong, you know, so.
Yeah, there's not even fun conflict here, it's just...
Yeah.
It's a show, I guess.
Yeah.
So, we're gonna have more of a return to form next week. We still figured this was worth putting out. It's still... We do still have some interesting things to talk about, especially if you're, like, into Lupin and want to know our thoughts more specifically about this Lupin film.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't one of our usual episodes. And...
No.
We'll be back onto our usual things the week after this, most definitely given the show that we're going into
next week. Yeah. Because it's my choice, so you know it's a banger.
That's... Get your ego out of here. Regardless, hopefully you can still enjoy this episode. But no, we'll be back to our usual high-energy, long-winded selves next week.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy.
Welcome back to another episode of A Shot of Weeb. This is episode 35. But it is also the premiere of season 2. They're arbitrary season counting.
Completely arbitrary. I don't think any of them have been the same number of episodes.
No, they have.
But as you can
not.
See, if we're on YouTube, we should, unless everything absolutely train wrecks, have a new layout framed with fancy stuff.
It should
including
be pretty cool.
His professionally commissioned avatar and my hastily constructed pretend avatar.
Yep, that's what we'll have.
For a glimpse behind the curtain, I have no idea what this is actually going to end up looking like. We're recording this like a month in advance, so we haven't made the new layout yet.
No, not at all. Not at all. We've spitballed ideas, and that's about it.
Oh, man.
But as always, I'm one of the hosts, Seaweed Ambassador, and joined by the Epic Wop.
Howdy.
And so, what did we watch this week?
Well, we needed a bit of a breather for something shorter because of the time frame in which we're recording this. So unfortunately, we're going to be kicking off with a little bit of a shorter episode for the start of season 2. Unfortunate, but oh well.
Yeah.
We decided it was movie week. This will be the second time we've reviewed a movie on the show, the first being Howl's Moving Castle.
Yep.
Unlike Howl's Moving Castle, this is not going to be, like, 2.5 hours of talking.
Yeah, no. No, definitely will not be.
So we flipped a coin for this one. Should I say what the one that failed was, or should we just keep that in our back pocket?
We can keep it in the back pocket. It'll be a surprise.
Okay.
Because
so
that'll be the next movie we watch.
Probably, yeah. So each of us suggested a movie, and then we flip coined.
Yes.
On it. That's not how that sentence should have worked.
No, not at all.
I've not drank anything yet. I'm just really sleepy. It's been a day.
Yeah.
We wound up watching Lupin the Third, Babylon no Ogon Sen Densetsu. There we go.
There we go.
Also known as Lupin the Third and the Legend of the Gold of Babylon.
Yes.
One of the lesser known of the Lupin films, and I'll talk about that a little bit once we like really get into it, because I did some digging on what the Lupin series is, because I've had some interactions with it, but not much. You've probably seen more Lupin than I have by a fair amount. Really?
No, I've only seen Castle Cagliostro.
So we've both only seen one other movie, and it was a different one.
Yep. Yeah.
Either way, well, this is going to lead into a lot of actual discussion, so before we do that, we still got some drinks to get out of the way. I am, like I said, I'm pretty tired, so I'm just doing half shots. I'm not going to go as ham as usual. Mm-hmm. I don't have that kind of energy right now.
And saying I got the tweeze still. So,
you got the small can. Yeah. You got the same.
This is how it was last week.
As my generic brand cheapo orange soda, because it's what I could find at the grocery store.
I mean, if it works.
If it works. Watermelon and orange, best combo. I'm going to die.
Oh, God. That sounds awful. Well,
it's what they were out of off-brand Sprite, and I didn't want to buy. Do you think we make enough off this podcast to buy main brand?
No. We barely make it. We don't even make enough to buy off-brand.
Ugh, I have to get a real job.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, come by.
Cheers, mate. Come by.
Yep. Pretty good.
Oh, it's so much easier to get through when it's only half a one.
Oh, yeah. Of course it is.
No active pain.
Yep.
So, Lupin the Third is based off of a manga. I'm going to give a little bit of history here, because I feel like we've got some leeway to talk history.
Wow, Wob is the one bringing out the history this time.
Well, yeah, because I'm going to quote from four different Wikipedia pages, y'all.
Only the best sources here.
Look, it's what I had open from my own research. I figured I'd just carry with it. But basically, from what I come to understand, there was a Lupin. It seems to have been a manga. Mm-hmm. There were some anime series, a handful of anime series, a bunch of anime series, good lord.
Yes.
And then, depending on how you argue it, 6 or 7 Lupin movies. Spanning from 1978 to 1996, and then a really long gap until one that just came out, like, this year, last year.
Lupin the First.
Lupin the Third,
the First. Yeah. Also, there are a bunch of TV specials. I think there was one released every year, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, there's a bunch of those. I didn't read too much into those. And that's why I actually said there's like 6 or 7 movies, depending on how you wager it. Because the Lupin movie that most people know is Castle Cagliostro. That's the one you've seen.
Yes.
That one has a big name attached to it. Each of the Lupin movies is directed by a different person. Castle of Cagliostro was Hayao Miyazaki. So, that kind of got that one a lot of recognition.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know if it did at the time, though. It has
sense. In hindsight, though.
Because it was... Oh, okay. Sorry. There's just audio coming out of your thing.
Yeah, that was a car.
Okay. All right, I'll cut here.
Or not. Let people know what it's like living in town.
Sure.
I don't care.
Alrighty. Because Cagliostro was directed by Miyazaki before he did I completely forgot the name. The first Ghibli movie, which wasn't Ghibli yet. Nazca.
Yeah, Cagliostro was Nazca. The end of 1979, it looks like.
Yeah. And I believe that was the first movie Miyazaki ever directed. I don't quote me on that.
I'd take your word for that.
Yeah, because he had done TV work before that. But
that was the second of the Lupin movies. There was one the year prior called The Mystery of Mamo.
Yeah.
Now, after Cagliostro was Legend of the Gold of Babylon in 1985, 6 years later, which is the one we're talking about now. And then, 2 years later, this is going to tie all of these back together, is the Fuma Clan Conspiracy. This is the one I've seen, and this is the reason I said that it depends on how you count them, because Fuma Conspiracy is technically an OVA. according to the sources that I've seen. So some people say it's a movie because it did get a theatrical release later. Some people say it isn't because it wasn't originally intended that way.
I see.
And Fuma Conspiracy, from what I understand, from what I've read, was really, really well animated, which I remember it looking excellent. Mm-hmm. But was very isolating to the original audience because due to budgetary reasons, they had gotten an entirely different voice cast.
Oh, okay.
So the West loved it and thought it was an excellent Lupin film. The original market wasn't so kind to it.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then there's, what, there was two more in the 90s that came out, and then like a 20-year gap till Lupin the Third the First came out.
Yeah.
So that's like the backstory on where we're at, is he's seen movie two, I've seen movie four, and then we just are talking today about movie three.
Yep. And that's it. The only other, I think really the only other exposure I have to Lupin is YouTube videos. Okay. So, like, I haven't seen any of the shows, though I've wanted to for a while, but yeah. So.
Yeah. And that's how Lupin came up in conversation, actually, was I mentioned it because I had seen, like I said, Fuma Clan and really enjoyed it. I mean, I had some issues with it, but it was good.
Yeah.
I watched it with the film club at my college when I was the only person who showed up. No, it was really sad. I felt so bad for the guy. It was like the club president and then me, and he's like, well, we were supposed to watch this movie, but no one's here. Do you want to watch anime instead?
Hey, well, you know, you gotta watch some good stuff, at least. Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I was familiar. I was gonna ask to watch either the new one or Cagliostro, but you'd already seen Cagliostro, and this is supposed to be the episode that neither of us have watched beforehand.
Yeah.
And you are, like, literally have plans, like, next week to watch the Third the First, so.
Yeah.
That would have been awkward.
Yeah.
So we settled on Go to Babylon.
Yep.
Do you have anything else you'd like to throw in before I start rambling again?
No, I don't really think so. Not. Yeah. So you can go ahead and take it, keep going.
Gotcha. So the thing that set. This is coming from reading. Because again, I've not seen all of these. The sources that I saw say that Cagliostro has like the big name attached to it. Fuma Conspiracy had like excellent art, but a little bit of a deviant style. Gold of Babylon was a bit unusual in that the director for this one took the character of Lupin in a bit of a different direction than the two big movies, or generally the rest of the series, really did. Whereas Cagliostro and Fuma Clan both focused a lot on, like, I think the way I saw it written was, like, the gallant thief or whatever. He's a lot more of just, like, a money-grubbing man in this. And there's a lot of, like, he's not the best person in this one.
Yeah.
Like, not to act like he's an amazing, perfect, law-abiding citizen in most of the series. That's not the point. That's not Lupin.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, Gold of Babylon has an even less squeaky version of Lupin than usual.
Yeah. Which I feel like... he did come across as a bit of an ass.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I suppose that's enough predisposition, though. We may as well hop on into it. This is I should get my notes, actually. I'm over here bragging about how well set up I am in my papers.
Well, the other thing that I think is interesting about this one, and obviously I didn't do all the research you did, but the director of this is mostly, almost exclusively directed, like, live action.
Yeah,
like, this is, like, one of the only anime things that he's done.
Yeah, and it was also one of the last things he directed. He only had a couple of things after this movie before he went to just, like, bit role acting credits.
Yeah.
Also, I have not heard of a single other thing this man has made.
Yeah, I haven't heard of very many things either, to be honest. But I'm not as big into that just like live action Japanese film, unless it's like tokusatsu.
Yeah, no, I think the only live action Japanese work that I have watched is about half of Neo Ultra Q. Yeah. Which I never finished.
Yeah. That's a shame, but oh well. So I guess it's about time we start talking about the movie.
Yeah, most likely. Right. It's got a bit of a jazz intro. It's set in New York City, primarily.
Mm-hmm.
In the USA. And I'm just gonna talk about like the awkward part of it like right away.
Yeah.
The artistry used to depict black people in this show does not look good. It's yeah. definitely aged. I don't think it was malicious, because I mean Japan doesn't have the same history as the States, obviously, but it was uncomfortable mm-hmm. regardless.
Yeah, it's not the most well done, but there's no like you said, it didn't feel malicious or anything. And there was one character who was from Kenya, I believe, and then like she's just drawn fairly normally.
Yeah, pretty much. It was mostly all the New Yorkers.
Yeah.
Yep. And I mean, they made most of the New York people look like decently weird. I mean, it's they're drawing Americans. Americans always look weird. We look weird. Yeah.
Yep.
But no, they did a lot of the like the big lipped art, because like this was very possibly, I may be talking out my ass here, but it was very possibly inspired by, you know, like older American animation. You know, mm-hmm. which the older from 1985 wouldn't have been the most friendly.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily just that. It, because that kind of just, like, simple, not good, obviously.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, that just kind of, like, simple way to show, like, that race has been used a lot, especially in like older anime, like
mm-hmm.
oh god, what's his name, the guy who made like Astro Boy Tezuka, yeah, there's a part in Kimba the White Lion that is it's rough.
I can imagine. Yeah, really, no, it's a complicated topic, and not one I'm qualified mm-hmm. to speak on. Yep. But my two cents is, yeah, I don't think they were trying to be, like, disparaging, but it certainly isn't a good look.
Yeah, no.
That and the fact that literally Hitler shows up in this, and Lupin does a Nazi salute at one point. There's a lot of yikes in here.
That part was weird, too, because it wasn't just that, but then, like, towards the end of the movie, one of the characters is like, Alexander the Great, Napoleon can do it, and not even Hitler could do it. And they were talking about what Lupin was doing, and it was like, you didn't need to say it like that.
Yeah, because that was coming off as this kind of glorification. It's just like, you know, maybe not do that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not that Napoleon and Alexander the Great were good either.
Yeah, but that was a lot less...
no Hitler.
A lot less recent, much less of an open wound.
And they're also not Hitler.
Well, yeah, definitely that.
One of the most evil men to ever live.
Yeah, no, it was... This movie definitely has some yikes, but again, I don't want this to come across as an excuse, but like it's not only just older times, but also older times from a different cultural history.
Yeah.
Yep. Do I condone or agree with it? Absolutely not. But
no.
Their reasoning behind it and their perception behind it is going to be different than ours.
Mm-hmm.
Why is there so much traffic? It's 1 in the morning. Send help. I'm going to lose my mind.
Oh, God.
So it starts off... After the jazzy intro, there's a drunk old lady singing this song that is like one of the connecting themes throughout the whole show. It's a song about how to get to the Gold of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out she's important. They go to a bar. things that I don't think are that important happen. And then we get our introduction to both Lupin and
Zenigata.
I keep wanting to call him Lestrade, which is not correct.
No, it's definitely not.
Zenigata. We get the introduction to Zenigata when he corners Lupin by mailing himself to Lupin.
In a birthday present.
So, immediately we're off to a very off-kilter tone for this.
Yeah, it's very playful as well, because the bar that they're in, you have to wear a monster mask.
Mm-hmm.
And Lupin is in the big gorilla suit. And then he gets shot, and he's in a slightly smaller gorilla suit, or monkey suit. He gets shot again, and he's in an even smaller monkey suit.
Yeah,
gets shot again, and then it's just gone, and then one of the symbol monkeys falls on Zenigata's head, and Lupin's at the door and on a bike. Like,
yeah, that is... I'm gonna give a quick brief of the characters, actually. I think that now would be a good time to do that. The characters that are consistent throughout Lupin are Lupin, obviously, the thief. He has two compatriots. One is... Don't tell me his name. He's like my favorite person ever. It's not Ragey. It's Agey something. It's two syllables. The gunman. I love him.
Jigen.
I was not on the right track at all.
No, you were not.
I think he's really cool. I preferred his depiction in Twimaclan. He had more of a cool attitude about him. He doesn't really do much in this one, unfortunately. And then also literally just the mystical ninja Goemon is also with them.
Well, no, it is Goemon the 13th. It is Goemon Ishikawa the 13th. Also, Lupin is just Arsene Lupin the 3rd.
Yeah,
he's the grandson of Arsene Lupin.
we're playing Persona 5, okay, so...
and there's one more character... who's part of the crew.
There's the girl who does things on occasion. What was her name?
Fujiko Mine.
I don't like her.
Oh my god.
No, I mean, is she the one who's also consistent in the other movies? Was she in the other movies as well? Yeah, because Film-A-Clan Conspiracy, she actually did things. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this show, she feels a little bit like a MacGuffin herself. I don't like it. I did not think this was a good Lupin movie.
I'm not saying it's a very good Lupin movie either. No, the five that are in, not everything, but the five like main cast that are like reoccurring is Lupin, Jigen, Goemon, Fujiko, and Zenigata.
Right.
It's the big five.
And Zenigata is part of Interpol. He's trying to catch Lupin because big name thief, I guess. And it is always a very wacky, like, over-the-top sort of, like, world heist chase. That's a consistent theme. And they lean into that at the beginning here. Like, again, with the mailbox, but then that turns into, like, a 10-minute-long motorcycle chase sequence that I can see you feel about the same way I do about it.
I wish it would have been 2 minutes.
It had a couple of good gags in it.
Yeah.
But then they also did the same gag for, like, another 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's this giant, like, animatronic face that they're driving on and over and through. Mm-hmm. And then, because of that chase scene, we're like, I have a note. How long was it in? 22 minutes in before we finally start to get the Babylon story thread.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it was
outside
just them bumbling
just
around.
Outside of just the little, like, thing Rosetta said at the beginning.
Yeah, Rosetta's talked about it, like, twice. But otherwise...
All we got was the song so far. That was
She started to talk about it. 22 minutes is when he tables the search for Babylon with Jigen and Goemon. But she talks about the candelabra maybe about 5 minutes prior.
Oh, okay.
Or two or three or 4 minutes prior. But then the mafia kicks the door in and you get more shenanigans.
Yeah.
So the way I see it, we don't get the plot hook driving initial force until 22 minutes into this movie because they're too busy doing a very aggressively repetitive bike chase.
Yeah.
It also serves to introduce, like, the second set of bad guys, characters from the New York Mafia. Except, mm-hmm. in my opinion, it doesn't really introduce them very well.
No, not at all.
He has a fly swatter. That's the thing. He has a fly swatter of death, but we don't...
Mm-hmm.
They don't really tell us what that means. We don't find out till later.
He says on the first hit... What was it? Like, the first hit will hurt. The second one, you go purple. And the third, you go white.
Yeah, it was like red, white, and purple in some order. Meaning, like, scared, and then hurt, and then dead.
Yeah. It's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then it's the goon squad.
Yeah. And the goons are all really dumb.
Yeah. And the big bad, the one who had the fly swatter, was he in other things? I feel like I recognize him. But
I
like,
have no idea.
If he's, probably I not, honestly. Know. If he's New York Mafia, he wouldn't have been in Fuma Clan. That was entirely in Japan.
Yeah, he's in Penguins of Madagascar. Because his name's Kowalski.
Yeah, that you got me there. You win.
No, but I don't know. I don't think he's... As far as I know, I don't think he's in anything else. But...
You know, I think he just had, like, a design reminiscent of big New York bad guy.
Probably. But there's him, then there's Marziano.
Yeah, there's an Italian fella who is like an archaeologist, and he's the villain, the opposite of Lupin. They're both looking for Babylon.
Yeah, but Marziano is also part of the mob, or at least working with the mob, because it was his father.
Yeah, I think so. And
left the mob to go look for the gold of Babylon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Kowalski is like his immediate subordinate.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, I can't remember what name they'd said, but like there was some name they said that was, I'm pretty sure, an actual mobster.
Oh, did they?
Were like, yeah, we gave up the whole city to this guy, or whatever. I don't know.
It was really
weird, but that character was never shown. So I was like, okay, what's the point?
Yeah, honestly. There was one other very mandatory scene before we get the Babylon plot of the drunk old lady undressing and trying to seduce Lupin.
Which is a running gag.
Yeah, I guess. Very important, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I didn't know. 'Cause also, When he goes back to the hotel after the bike chase scene, he's stolen all the money, right?
Mm.
He's back at the hotel. Like, she all of a sudden just starts talking about Babylon. It's like, I know you've been looking for it, Lupin. And I'm like, oh, has he?
Yeah, that would have been nice to know for the last 20 minutes of the show. Could we have seen that instead?
Yeah. And then... something that, like, during that scene, do you remember when he, like, runs and slams into the wall face first?
Yeah.
Okay. Did that not feel like Scooby-Doo to you?
It kind of did in that, like, they pull from other, like, comedy animation sources. Like, during the bike sequence, there's a couple, like, very Looney Tunes style, like, gags. Like, where,
Zenigata.
Policeman Zenigata, thank you. I'm sorry.
Yep.
No. Like slings the handcuffs all the way over to Lupin, and they grab on, and then he lights a stick of dynamite and shifts it down the wire, and Lupin's like, "Oh no, it's gonna get me. What do I do? What do I do?" And then he pulls a fucking U-turn sign out of his ass and holds it up so that the dynamite turns around.
Yep. They did that, and then there was also one where Lupin slowed down when they were like up in the construction. And Zenigata's like looking backwards, like, huh? What? And then he slams into a pole that's like perfect height for the bike to go under, but not him. And Lupin speeds by, like, see you later.
Not even just Looney Tunes style. This is like very Roadrunner-ish, kind of like particularly.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just drive through this metal robot head for like 20 minutes or whatever. There was one really cool skit, though. This was when the goons bust into him in Rosetta's room, and they like try to gun him down, but he's got like this invisible plexiglass thing in front of him, so it looks like he's stopping all the bullets Matrix style. That was clever. I liked that.
That was. I did like that as well. Because at first, when I first saw it, I was like, no, these bullets are hitting his face. How is he not getting a hit? And then when it reveals it, I'm like, okay, that's cool.
That's yeah, he's got like this kitted out hotel room, even though it looks like it's literally going to fall apart.
Yeah. And I did like, too, when he like, when Rosetta shows, or he sees Rosetta in his room passed out. He's like, oh, shit, and, like, calls the front desk to tell him, like, she's dead in his room. And the guy at the front desk just snips the phone cord. He's like, I'm not dealing with this.
There were definitely good sequences.
Yeah, there was a lot of good gags in it. But then, unfortunately, some of those good gags, they turn into 20-minute sequences that are just awful.
We start actually moving the plot forward. They're like, Lupin's like, I'm looking for Babylon. We should go look for Babylon. And then both Jigen and Goemon go, no, and leave.
Yeah. Well, Goemon says that's all bullshit, leaves. Jigen doesn't say anything, gets up, and he's like, I never said anything about leaving. We're just out of cognac. And I was like, okay. So Goemon's not going to be in the movie. That's fine. I don't need the whole cast here. And then, no, he's in the rest of the movie.
Yeah, they're all here. They go on the trip. So the part of the MacGuffins are these Babylonian cuneiform tablets. Cuneiform is the, like, writing. Mm-hmm. The Italian fella has, like, a ton of them in a collection. He's showing off to his girlfriend or whatever. And she's, like, surprisingly knowledgeable about it. And they go into, like, this long history lesson about how Italian man's dad went to go look for the tablets. He went to look for, like, the original Tower of Babylon, I think.
The Tower of Babel.
It's the Tower of Babel, yeah. Which got destroyed.
Yeah. Oh, also, it's not just his girlfriend. It is Fujiko.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. That explains... It is Fujiko. That explains some, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
This is when Hitler shows up.
Yeah.
We get, like, a full saluting army in this, like, historical flashback sequence talking about archaeology, and I'm just like...
That part wasn't that bad.
It wasn't bad, but I'm just like, why are you here? You could have just, like, said... But okay.
I don't know. I didn't think that part was too bad because that is something that the Nazis did.
Of all of the offenses in regards to this, that is the least of them.
That doesn't mean I
like it.
Well, I don't even think that it's like an offense in this case, just by having that there, because like it is a movie. It would be pretty boring if he had just like, if instead of showing it, they had just said it. What they should have done.
Yeah, I know that goes against the rules of filmmaking. It's still what I think should have happened. I think it should have been like...
They should have also shown Napoleon and Alexander.
Yeah, to give more context instead of just popping the guy in there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, no, so the Germans are also looking for this. I don't remember why. Probably just because... Well,
it's something the Germans did was try to, like, find...
Yeah, they're looking for, like, all these mythical artifacts because they wanted power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that happens in Indiana Jones, too.
Yeah, no, straight up. Multiple times, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so Fujiko is like, wow, these are really cool tablets. Thank you for the history. And then takes a picture using her necklace. And Italy man immediately hears it. Shanks her in the... No. Pulls her robe off.
Yeah, rips it off.
Stabs her in the back. And she inflates. And I'm just like, that's someone's fetish. And then it pops. It was Lupin wearing a Fujino balloon suit. And what the fuck was that?
Yeah. It was very cartoony.
Yeah.
I'll give him some credit. because they did kind of set that up as something that Lupin could do in the beginning when he was wearing all the monkey suits.
Yeah, I suppose.
But also, I was like, okay, why couldn't it have just been Fujiko?
Yeah, honestly, like, because, like, she's already playing a double agent kind of role.
Yeah, she yeah. Like, she's that always that working just straight for herself. Her. Yeah.
And what if that wasn't Lupin? What if he just straight shanked her? She's dead.
Yeah, I mean, that was his goal, so.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's weird.
Yeah.
What was the other thing I wanted to bring up at this point before I moved on? There was... But he, like, paralyzes him, gets more pictures of all the cuneiform, and then just pieces out.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not entirely my assessment. I'm going to go ahead and bring it up now while I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
I did partially steal this from a little bit of reading I saw on the topic, but it also, I realized that it very succinctly defined the issue I feel I have with this show.
Okay.
One of the reviews I saw in this, or a quote regarding it, is that this movie frequently feels like a couple of different Lupin sketches just kind of set next to each other with a loose connecting thread.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this show doesn't flow together very well. Like, the 15-minute motorbike chase, you know? Like, mm-hmm. That feels like it was its own thing. It was have Lupin and Zenigata go have fun for a bit, and then
yeah,
there's, like, the whole historical segment that we just got done talking about. There's, like, some... a whole train fight with the Mafia that really just kind of feels like its own bit. Although there's that also, one does tie in pretty well, because there's the whole policewoman thing, which is the next bit we'll be getting into.
I was going to say, there's also just a beauty pageant that the Interpol is putting on for some reason. Yeah, that
comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, and it goes away out of nowhere, too.
Kind of, yeah. So we hop into... this is, like, right after Lupin pieces out, because Zenigata got taken off the case because they're like, you're too zealous. Take a break. Go judge a beauty contest. Mm-hmm. So they have police women from a bunch of different countries come in for a beauty pageant, and they are all hilariously stereotyped. Every one of them. There's, like, an American who wears the flag everywhere, frickin' Bandit Keith style.
Yep.
There's, like, a martial artist from China. And she gets the most expanded role of all the police women because she's the love interest for Goemon, except only, like, indirectly.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's
one
weird.
One of the girls is from Russia. One is from Kenya.
The Russian is buff because obviously it's yep. Not even clever stereotypes. It's just the ones.
Yeah. Honestly, the one that gets stereotyped the least is the girl from Kenya.
Yeah, I mean, she does, like, a semi-tribal dance, but, like, honestly, I could see that. I mean, like,
if you're trying to show your talent from wherever you're from.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, these things are complicated and impressive. I sat in on a workshop once at a local college of, like, a traditional African dance, and, like, it was confusing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was... discordant, but then the girls get angry at the guy running the pageant, and he's like, oh no, I need you guys off my case. So he goes to Zenigata and is like, you go hunt for Lupin, take all of them with you, I don't want to deal with them.
Yeah.
And that's the driving force for the next half.
Mm-hmm.
It's a touch early, but we're about halfway through the movie. And we're expecting a short episode. Do we want to call a mid-break here?
Let's call a mid-break here.
Yeah. That's fair. Like I said, apologies again. This is going to be a bit more brief than our usual, but...
Yeah.
We've got better things coming, we promise.
We do. We definitely do. So, be back in a minute.
Just like we'll have more things coming in the second half of this episode.
Okay.
I need to sleep very badly. We'll see you soon.
Alrighty, well, you are bringing us back in.
Yeah, I know. I was just kind of waiting for the... Welcome back to the...
That's the intro now, baby. That's
no,
it.
No, I kind of wanted it to be, actually. I was gonna like immediately follow it up, and then my brain froze, so I didn't go. Welcome back to the second half of A Shot of Weeb. I'm making this intro as difficult to edit as possible because I'm vindictive.
No, it won't be hard. I'll just start at the yell.
The second half of our review of Lupin the Third, The Legend of the Gold of Babylon. That's a lot of words.
Yep.
And I forgot what I was going to fucking say next. I had a whole thing planned.
Oh, man.
Should we just take our shot? I think.
Yeah, let's
or
just
my
take
half
our shot.
I've got a half
or
shot.
A drink.
I've got a half shot because as soon as we're done talking about this show, I'm going to bed. I slept like 3 hours last night because the summer has been brutal hot, and air conditioning is a lie.
Yeah, that is true. Come by. That is good. I know yours tastes like garbage. How is the follow-up of orange soda to watermelon vodka?
The orange soda is very overpowering, and that's exactly what I need.
Hey, well, okay. Well, sounds like it works, then.
I guess. Let's hop back into the story of this. This episode's been a train wreck, but I'm seeing it through to the end, dang it.
Yep. We'll finish what we started.
We've come this far. We may Alrighty. As well suffer through.
Where were we?
So we did the beauty pageant. Lupin does some computer stuff and sees that the tablets were all scattered around Madison Square Garden. So we get the obvious conclusion that we don't actually get to see concluded until the end.
Yeah.
Where exactly is Madison Square Garden? I mean, New York, obviously, but, like, is that, like in the middle of the city? Like,
I think it's, like, in the middle of the city, yeah.
Because is that the sportsy place, or is it just a park and garden? I don't know New York. I don't do cities.
I don't know New York either. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
We talked about that. We talked about this. They are on a train. They're taking a train. Well, they left from Japan and went to Paris, and they're taking a train from Paris to whatever the modern day country is that Babylon was in. I've already forgotten.
Iraq?
Right. Yeah. So they're headed there by train.
Wait, was it Iraq or Afghanistan?
One of them. I wasn't.
They've said
I'm not
both
sure.
of those
I
names.
Didn't write it down. I didn't they write it down, I'll be honest.
I didn't write it down. No.
Okay, well, let's. Oh, wait, hold on. Are you sure that's not Egypt? Because they talk about the Tigris and the Euphrates. What's next to Egypt? Oh, I'm failing geography right now. Ancient Mesopotamia, that's not helpful. It's Iraq.
Okay, it is Iraq. Okay. So I was right the first time.
They're taking a train from Frack to Iraq.
Well, they're going to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Xanagata and the girls are there, and they're gonna catch Lupin.
Yep.
Take over, please.
So you got the whole gang together. You got Goemon, Jigen, Fujiko, and Lupin.
Yeah, I thought they didn't want to go with, but then they do.
Yeah, then they do. Also, this is also something we didn't mention. There's a part where Goemon just kind of cuts lightning for no reason.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's practicing.
And I was like,
yep.
I mean, that's kind of cool. But, like, okay, cool.
And then Lupin shoots a banana peel at him, and we get some good old-fashioned slapstick.
Yeah, which that was pretty good, honestly. I didn't mind that.
Yeah, I mean, it shows their dynamic. Lupin thinks thinks Goemon's overly serious.
Yep. And, so yeah, that was a thing that happened. But then, now all of them are driving to Iraq in this little jeep. Or they're driving to the,
Wait, are we just gonna breeze over the train segment? I thought there was actually a lot in the train section.
There is a lot in the train segment. I'm dumb. Yes. The train segment is great.
The train segment was actually interesting to watch.
Yes.
So like I said, all the Zenigata and the girls are there. And they're all planning, they like hijacked the train, or was it the mafia that did that? Because they're like prepping like a special dinner.
The mafia did it first, and then the Interpol comes in. They're like, "All right, well, I guess all these criminals think alike." Obviously, referring to Lupin and the mafia both taking the train, and then then they take over what the mafia was gonna do to Lupin.
they prep like a sleeping sedative salad for Lupin. Mm-hmm. And the police women sit near him, and one of them bats eyes at Lupin, and he's like, "Wow, boobs, can I have dinner with you?" And, like, literally, that's pretty much exactly what he says.
Yeah, I think it was basically, "Oh, wow, big busted women, that's my type. Can I hang out with you guys?" And it's like, okay, I mean, yeah, that does kind of feel like the Lupin that they're trying to portray in this movie.
It's not the Lupin that I'm used to Lupining.
Yeah. You know, and obviously they're like, yeah, come over here, Lupin.
Because they want to feed him the poison food.
Yep. And say Zenigata, one of the other girls had taken on the like a waitress role, and Zenigata wrote a note in like the wine menu, and she shows it to the girls. And then they're, like, pretending to order food, but they get the note. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was sneaky. That was clever.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there are so many aspects here that could have been pretty good if there wasn't a whole bunch of other weirdness going around. I'd say the entire train sequence, I think, was the best part of this, just hands down.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any other bit that, like, really stands out more than that.
I think the only other part for me is, like, when they get to Babylon,
you know, when they're, unquote, like, inside the flooding tower and stuff?
No. In Iraq. Like, the next
thing
that happens.
Oh, right, when he's, like, dungeon delving. Okay, yeah. But yeah, no, and they, like, are actually about to do it. He's about to eat the bad food, and then the mafia fly in with weapons-grade helicopters.
Yeah.
Because of course they do.
Yep.
And then there's a bunch of... this is where Jigen and Goemon get to shine. Like, they both do their own cool things.
Mm-hmm.
Goemon fights with the karate policewoman. It's probably not karate. Whatever martial art. The martial arts Chinese policewoman.
Yeah.
And then he accidentally looks up her skirt, and they're like, "Oh, that was inappropriate. Let's not fight." And then they leave.
Mm-hmm.
Jigen shoots down a helicopter with one shot, which was cool.
Yeah.
It
was really cool.
Jigen is my favorite character from when I watched Fuma Clan, which is why I was hoping he would do so much more than he actually did in the show, in this movie. Mm-hmm.
You will love Cagliostro then.
I plan to watch it soon-ish, honestly. Yeah. And then Goemon does some Goemon stuff, cuts up a train.
Mm-hmm.
And can we give props to Zenigata? Why do I want to call him Lestrade? They aren't even similar.
You got a half of it right that time.
I can't get words to function. And it's driving me up the wall. They cut the train, so half the train is running off of like just momentum, but it's falling behind.
Mm-hmm.
But Zenistrade is like holding the train together. Like, this man has Hulk muscles.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was so cool. And then not only does he just hold it together, he brings them closer.
Yeah, legit, dude.
Like, yeah. Then that was awesome.
This man's got like Avengers level superpowers, but he's also stupid, so it equals out.
Yeah, but like he was also the one who kind of came up with their whole plan in the train, which generally worked.
it would have worked, yeah.
Yeah, if it wasn't for those meddling kids. No, if the mafia hadn't shown up in helicopters, it would have worked. Mm-hmm. And, like, I love that aspect of Zenigata when he's able to do stuff like that. I don't like just the bumbling buffoon Zenigata.
Yeah, because, like, I'm wanting to say in Fuma Clan that Zenigata was actually, I mean, yeah, he'd get outwitted, but he, if I remember correctly, like, actually was a threat as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he, I feel like he should be a threat.
And then he also, like, he also, like, actively does things aside from run after Lupin, like, I'm gonna keep it vague since you've not seen Fuma Clan, mm-hmm. but, like, basically Lupin gets to the MacGuffin cave first, and Zenigata, like, takes in the situation and realizes, oh, there's more important things that I need to do. And so he does.
Yeah.
And that's not the Zenigata that we've got here. This is
no
single target, small brain, get Lupin Zenigata.
Yeah, small brain, if a brain. Like, it's just, yeah. Which man. Is, and then, you know, it's also, like, Jigen is only Jigen really in this sequence, the train scene.
Yeah, beyond that, he's just a basic gunman.
Yeah, and like, well, he does have the one bit while he's in the sewers.
Right, when he's fighting the flamethrower.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. But yeah, 90% of the time that Jigen's doing stuff in this episode, he could have been replaced with any other gunman, and it would have been functionally the same.
Yep. I mean, and honestly, the same for Goemon. There's literally no reason for Goemon to be here.
Especially since he just straight up said he didn't want to go.
Yeah, and I think it would have been so much better if he didn't go. Like, that would have been so much cooler.
What purpose does Goemon actually serve in this sequence? He flirts with the martial arts policewoman and styles on a couple of goons. That's it. That's all he does. Mm-hmm. He doesn't serve any larger narrative purpose either, I don't think.
No. The only other thing he does is at the very end. But he doesn't even do it.
Yeah, no. He has to come in and try to clean up a little bit of Lupin's mess, and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt like they just wanted to have the whole cast here.
They wanted to have Jigen and Goemon without an actual reason to need them, and it felt like a bit of a waste.
Yes.
They get away on the train. They find the dig site for where the Tower of Babel was. It's just the base because the Tower of Babel was destroyed.
Yeah.
They wait till night. Lupin paraglides in on his own.
Mm-hmm.
I missed bits and pieces of this segment, I think, and you said you really liked it, so I'm going to let you take the reins here.
I mean, so, like, once he actually gets in there, into the base of the tower, then he gets this, like, weird, like, dream sequence thing, where it's this, like, lady on the floor starts talking to him, and somehow he knows immediately it's Rosetta. And I'm like, okay, you know, if it's like a mind thing, like if this is just being put in your mind, sure, I'll let it pass. Like, that's fine. But then we start getting like, she's saying stuff like, yeah, every 73 years or whatever.
Like, dude, I think it was 79, and as soon as they gave, like, a very specific number of years in the 70s, I'm like, it's Halley's Comet, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the one I figured.
Because it's always Halley's Comet.
Yeah. And this part I didn't like as much, because I was like, okay, that's cool, I guess. You know, whatever. Like, God has sent you down here to find the gold. Why does he care? Like, why does he want the gold? No questions about that.
Yeah, because we get that explained a little bit later, but it's weird.
Yeah. And so then everything fades away, and Lupin is just in this room. And then the
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt it mid-sentence, but I would like to lodge a complaint, actually, I have with this sequence as well.
Okay.
So we mentioned that from the very beginning, Rosetta's been singing this, like, poem, basically. mm-hmm. about how to get to Babylon. How far is it to Babylon or something? This is an approximate quotes. How far is it to Babylon? 70 miles north or something, or south or whatever.
South. Yeah.
Can you get there by candlelight? Yes, and back again. And then there's like some other verses that are only heard sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really get used. Or rather, half of it gets used and it doesn't make sense, and the other half just gets forgotten.
Yeah.
Because they 70 they use the specifically the 70. Score is in like a hole in the ground. There's 3 death pit traps. I'm just like, if you say so, champ. That's not how that works. That's 70 miles south. But yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was super weird. I don't like that part of it either.
Yeah, and then the candlelight, I think it means hold up the candelabra when the comet is around, but, like, that's not really addressed or successfully used, I don't think.
It is.
Well, I mean, successfully used as in they use it, but I mean used narratively, I don't think it was done well.
No. And no, like, I don't think so.
Like, if you're going to make the entire, like, focus of the plot hook be Rosetta's poem, make it make sense. Use it, all of it. Line it up.
Yep.
And they didn't. They just didn't.
No, not at all. But, yeah. So then when he's in that cave thing, then the golden lion comes up, and he's like, oh, it's Babylon's gold. And then he makes the comment, and he's like, this can't be all of it. Oh, well.
Yeah, no, not even that. It's like they showed up with the griffin, which was foreshadowed because the Italian guy was painting it. He said he saw it in his dreams. But the griffin shows up and Lupin, like, said, it's the gold of Babylon. And I'm just sitting in my chair. I'm like, no, it isn't.
Yeah, I know. I was like, there's no way that's all of it. And then Lupin's also like, that can't be all of it, which I did like that part. But even he's like, there's no way this is it. Oh, well, I need to get the fuck out because everything started crumbling around him.
Yeah, it was falling apart, and so he like ties it up.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, do you realize how heavy that statue has to be? And he just clips it to a paraglider pulled by a jeep, and somehow it works.
I'm willing to give it some because it's already shown that the movie it's pretty cartoony.
It is very cartoony. So I'll
give it that one. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
I want to riff on it, but I suppose they did set it up to where your expectations should allow for that.
Yeah. No, but I understand. Yeah, when I first saw that, I was like, I don't know if this is even gold, buddy. Like, you might want to get this tested.
That's gold leaf cardboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they glide away with it.
And then a boomerang comes in, and you're like, oh, that's right, I am watching the Boomerang Channel. That makes it all make sense now.
Sorry, I wasn't expecting that.
For context, for younger viewers, Boomerang is a channel on cable that showed old cartoons like the Looney Tunes.
You know, I want to make fun of you for defining it, and then I realized Boomerang's actually a bit old for me even.
Yeah, I was, like, young when I was watching it.
I don't think I even watched it. I was vaguely aware of its existence.
Oh.
Look, dude, I was one of those weird kids that watched Science Channel with my mom, okay?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my channel was the Food Network normally, so...
Okay. I'm gonna detour for a second, because by golly, we can afford the time expenditure.
Yeah, that's true.
I had this conversation with a friend recently. Do you remember Most Extreme, like, on Animal Planet?
Oh, that sounds very familiar.
It has. It was like it was all like CG, like Matrix green, and they had animations where they would like display the animals' superhuman abilities, but like with modified models of people, like adjusted to account for what the creature could do. It was fucking trippy and like the most 90s thing you've seen.
What is this? I've never watched this before, but I'm looking at screenshots right now, and I have to show you this image. I'll put it in the episode too.
Please tell me it's the Jimmy Neutron one.
What is this?
Yeah, that's. I specifically remember that episode.
Oh, there's the Jimmy Neutron one. Yeah.
So, He'll put it in the YouTube, but for the audio listeners, it's like the most touch sensitive parts of the body, and so the hands are super big and the head's super big because that's where all the food was. I specifically remember that episode because content warning, mature language. I swear that episode was like, some people think the most sensitive part would be the penis, but it's the hands, and they go on about it for like 5 minutes.
Oh god, that's so funny. These are how have these images not been top text, bottom text yet?
they're spectacular. That show, I grew up watching that, man. And like nobody seems to know what it is out of the people I talk to. All those kids my age were watching SpongeBob.
Oh man, this is great. I need to watch this show now.
Honestly, if we can find it, I'd love to watch it. Honestly, do yourself a favor. I'm talking to all of you right now. Do yourself a favor. Look up Most Extreme. Look up the... you can see, because it was a top 10 list, it was the format. Okay. Look at the transitions for each number. It is aggressively 90s.
Okay, so just like Most Extreme transitions, basically?
I think that'd find it, honestly. Or like countdown transitions or something like that. It was
I'll,
wild.
I'll look it up after.
Yeah, look it up on your own time because like we do need to get back on track. But I'm very glad I could introduce you to this.
This is amazing.
So the boomerang hits, and I was like, oh yo, the Italian got him, but plot twist, it's not the Italian.
Nope.
But it's also kind of the Italian.
Not in this case.
Well, that's where it ends up, though.
Yeah, but
it just goes through, like, three other hands first.
Yeah, but it wasn't meant to go to him.
Well...
Because it was Fujiko. It was Fujiko. We never said it
was. This is one of the things that I get a little confused in. So Fujiko takes it, drives off with Rosetta, ends up with some, like, Zimbabwean millionaire...
Yeah.
And then they, like, boat up to the Italian man and give it to him. And he's like, oh, thank you for the gold. What about your end of the deal? And she just, like, jumps in the ocean.
I didn't think that she had given it to him. I thought that they had just kind of shown up and were taking it.
Maybe I misunderstood, but I thought she was bringing it to
the
Italian.
And she didn't jump in the ocean either. She did get shot.
Oh, did she? Okay,
yeah,
that
I missed. She's holding her shoulder as she's falling into the water.
Okay, that I missed. I thought he called her on it and she just boogied out.
No, because he also, at least according to the subtitles, he didn't say, like, hold up, you're into the bargain. It was more of a, now it's time to do what you promised.
Yeah, that's what it was. Either way, but, I'm gonna give full disclosure here. By this point of the movie, I was not giving full attention anymore.
Yeah. No,
most of this show had lost me.
Yeah.
And I know that's irresponsible of me, given that I was watching it for a review. And that's something I need to work on. But good gravy, man. This show bounced all over the place. And it just... I need to save what I was going to say for final thoughts. I was about to ramble too much.
Yeah, no. It, yeah, it's really confusing. Mm-hmm. No, I'm right there with you.
We end up on a side sequence, now, where it's Zenigata and the girls again. Yeah. They're in the desert, because they wound up, like, left behind on the remains of the train. Mm-hmm. They hold up, like... the Serbian army or something, some sort of army. It wasn't Iraqi, but it was like something else regional.
Yeah.
And like kidnap 3 military tanks from them?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what was up with that because he's like, hey, ask them nicely for oil and supplies because they need to fix the Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
And they just take the tanks instead and hold them up.
Yeah.
And so Zenigata is all like, oh, no, this doesn't mean war. We're not trying to be aggressive. And then the girls are just like, yeehaw, tank magic.
Yep, and they just leave.
Yeah, they just peace out.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure that's literally an act of war, but okay.
Yeah, Yeah, because I don't think, like, cops are, like, allowed to commandeer vehicles. Like, I don't think that's an actual thing.
Or especially not from another country's military.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely not that.
Like, especially, I was just trying to think of... That's not even their jurisdiction. They're not in their country. Wait, never mind. They're Interpol. It's all countries. Okay, yeah. Never mind. I take that one back. I keep thinking it's like the Japanese police force, but no, they're Interpol.
Yeah, they are Interpol. But like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's like not a thing. Cause I was watching some show. I think it was a comedy show, a comedy cop show or something. And the guy's trying to commandeer a vehicle. He's like, I'm pleased. And the guy's like, no, I know my rights. I know you're not allowed to actually commandeer a vehicle. Oh man, what was that?
Well, I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I think the last time I watched like a police show was back when I watched Castle, and that was while it was airing, so it was a while ago.
Yeah. It's been a hot minute. I think it was a movie, but I don't remember what movie it was. It was a comedy movie for sure, though.
Either way, I'm not a lawyer. I can't comment on the legality of the subject. Either way, yeah. they just make off with these military-grade tanks and drive off through the desert with them. I think the Russian is piloting one. I think the Chinese lady takes one. I think the American takes one.
Yes. And the other two girls are gunners.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's weird. They drive off Zenistrad. No.
Zenigata.
Zenigata.
You'll get it by the end of the episode.
Has to, like, run after them. Good gravy. I forget why I wrote this down. I have a note that says, gotta find the real treasure. And I can tell I was hinting at... Right. Because, so, Lupin is like, okay, we need to go find the rest of the gold of Babylon. Like, where it actually is. Because he knows where it is. It's Madison Square Garden. We already covered this.
Yeah.
But now is when he actually tells the others that it's Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, we've got to go find the real treasure. And my brain is just like, the real treasure was the friends we made along the way.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so they, like, fly back to New York. And the Italian man's... minion Kowalski is like, they've come back to New York, and he's like,
I don't think Kowalski's his minion. I think they're rival leaders in the gang.
Well, they were working together though.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking, like, they're like rival, or like Kowalski, or like, I think that not rival, but like they are like leaders within the same organization,
possibly. Either way, he's like, Lupin's come back, he's gonna take your gold. And then Italian is like, no, he can't have my gold. And then Lupin calls him and says, dude, I don't want your gold. Just leave us be. And like, we have to kill him. And he like breaks down crying and is like, my gold. I'm just like, yeah. Okay.
It's like, I understand partly because that's what his dad like lived his life for and died for, was to find this treasure. Now he thinks he's finally got it. He doesn't want anybody to take it.
Yeah, but I mean, clearly this was intentionally set up to make him look pathetic, but I don't understand why that choice was made.
Yeah.
I think that was just to like set us up for Kowalski being the plot twist. Kowalski backstabs him. I think that's supposed to, like, set up for Kowalski becoming the actual villain, because we know the Italian man isn't actually intimidating, but...
Yeah.
To me, it feels like they just took all the wind out of the Italian sails, and because of that, I feel like that makes the twist of Kowalski taking over much less impressive, because we already know that Kowalski's the one that actually has the power and ability to do things.
Yeah.
Because he's also been the one with the fly swatter. He's been the one making all the phone calls. He was the one with the flamethrower. Mm-hmm. We didn't even talk about Jigen and the flamethrower a bit, hardly at all.
Oh, was that Kowalski with the flamethrower?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't get it. And there's a chance it's me being dumb, but I don't think it is.
I mean, I don't get it either, so... No, but then we get that whole thing, and then,
so we find out how the gold hit New York. If you wanna, I've been talking too much. I'll let you go.
Yeah. I really didn't like this part. So, the way that the gold hit New York is that when God picked it up, he dropped it, and then it landed in what became New York City.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And the base of the tower is what they built Madison Square Garden on.
Yep.
Yeah. And they're all like, oh, why would God drop gold? What does God need gold for? And they're just like,
oh. To buy stuff. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
And this is when we get suggestion it's aliens. I think Lupin eventually says it's aliens. We don't see aliens yet. That's not till later.
He's like, whether it's aliens or... Or no, Zenigata, I think, says... Or not Zenigata. Goemon, towards the beginning, I think, says, like... I don't believe in aliens or gods or anything. Or maybe that was Jigen who said that. Somebody said that shit.
Yeah, one of the characters. One of the incidental side characters.
Yeah, and then... yeah, Lupin says something about it possibly being aliens or God again. And man, then it, why? Why couldn't it have been like an actual just cool thing? We didn't need the supernatural bullshit in this movie.
Why couldn't they just sail an entire golden tower across the ocean and plop it where a major city will be in a couple hundred thousand years?
No,
2,000 years, sorry.
No, what I mean is, like, why couldn't they have the mystery actually have just been them trying to figure out where the fuck this thing is? Not, like, you know? Like, well, it could still be in the Middle East. It doesn't have to be in Babylon, necessarily.
Yeah, because the solving of where the gold is was literally a one-step process that gets done already.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, maybe it could have been, like, more of a treasure hunt road trip sort of thing, you know, following this ancient alien poem that the MacGuffin character's been singing the whole time. Wouldn't that be cool?
Be so sick. But no.
Okay.
It's not.
Next note. So, yeah. So Fujino gets captured, and Lupin has to go get her, and it's the two bad guys, it's Kowalski and the Italian, and Kowalski's like, I'm in charge now, bitch, and shoots him. Mm-hmm. And my exact note is, bad guy betrayed bad guy, oh no.
Yeah, and then also Fujiko is encased in gold.
Yeah, that was actually kind of wild. Like, I'll give props to that being an interesting way to do that.
Yeah. Didn't really make sense, but...
Hey, you know what? It's creative. That's yes, something.
That is true. And again, it's a very cartoonish movie, so...
It's better than I've come to expect from a lot of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, good lord.
I know you said earlier on in this that it wasn't bad enough for us to just sit still and roast, but I'm realizing I've got a lot to roast in this.
Hey, well. God, yeah. Well, why don't you roast some shit? Because I don't know what to talk about.
Well, I mean, all this really left is the... So, like, the way he's like, I'm gonna rescue Fujino... This box has bombs in it, don't shoot her, and then Kowalski calls bullshit. And Lupin's like, yeah, okay, tosses it on the ground, it's just a case of cigars.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also blows up later, so, like, I don't know... What was it supposed to be a bargain? Did he just bail on it? Did he, like, know...
No, I think he knew that Kowalski would want a cigar later on.
Yeah, but...
And so... But that was... And he knew that he could save Fujiko... Like, he couldn't blow her up.
I feel like there's no way he could have known that Kowalski would not just want a cigar, but would also take one of his.
Well, that's why he let the case open when it hit the ground, I think.
Yeah, but, like, also, I mean, Kowalski, like, feels for his own. He's like, oh, no, I'm out. I guess I'll take one of these. Mm-hmm. So, like, the only way that really comes together as a plan is if Lupin, like, pinched Kowalski's cigars to make sure he would go for Lupin's. We don't see that. We don't have that happen. That's just a theory. A fucking game theory.
So, thanks for watching.
There's, like, he's pretending... There's, like... yeah. the dregs of a cool plot here, or a cool, like, scheme from Lupin, but then it's just not. It's yeah. just, it's things that happen, and it works out, I guess, because Lupin's the good guy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Yeah.
No, I agree with you. 100%.
But then they have this whole sequence where they're falling through, like, a flooded river, because Kowalski dumps them in there. And Fujino can't do anything to save herself. Like, she's not even still in the gold. She's, like, got full movement, but then she's still relying on Lupin for all of the everything. Which yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's the 80s. Delicate women.
But also,
whatever,
like, Fujiko isn't normally like that.
Yeah, no, because, like, in Fuma Clan, she's, like, this biker thief combatant. She was yeah. cool and relevant and a character.
Even in parts of this movie, she, like, betrays Lupin and, like, uses the boomerang to get the thing and, like, takes it off on her own. We don't see a lot of that, but, like, she's still doing that. She's not, like, yeah. a helpless little, like, princess that needs to be saved.
Like she is in this entire sequence. She yeah. doesn't do anything. She's
and
just
the
there to make
the
things difficult for Lupin. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't sit right.
Yeah, it's just frustrating.
But they eventually... I didn't take notes on a lot of this. They get out somehow. I don't remember how. I don't mm-hmm. care how. They get out, and then Lupin's like, let's go dig under the garden. And they dig under the garden, and they find, like, just a huge cavern. And then they dig in that, and they find a huge supply of gold. Which, given how much activity there is in New York City, and how much geological study, and how much scientific everything the states has, there's no way that the ground there hasn't been, like, sonically permeated or whatever. They have to have done, like, sound bounce tests or whatever. People know that cavern's there. There's no way.
Yeah. Maybe they just didn't know that there was a stockpile of gold. I don't know how that stuff works. I'm not a science man, really.
I'm not Bill Nye the Science Guy, but by golly, that feels fishy.
Yeah.
So they go and dig it out, and they set up, like, an entire mining operation in, like, 10 minutes with conveyors and everything and a boat, and Goemon sails a boat full of bullion out twice, and there's no way that boat can hold that much gold. Like, it would sink, like, mm-hmm. immediately.
Yeah.
But cartoon again, physics, whatever.
Yeah, I say, again, we're gonna give it that benefit of the doubt there for the cartoonness.
We can ignore that one. So they end up, they're outside, and he sees Rosetta, and he's like, hey, we found the tower. It's Madison Square Garden. Go stand on top of the garden and hold up your magic candelabra, and go talk to God.
Yep.
And so she does. She holds it up. The tower starts flying. You can tell they did the good thing, because the old lady turns beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I guess. And she's like, I'm gonna go home, finally, after, like, 300,000 years. Not even Hitler could send yep. me home.
Also, Lupin, I'm an alien.
Yeah.
Because it was aliens.
Yeah. Like, there's literally a UFO that, like, comes and tractor beams the tower, and then Lupin's like, well, that sucks. And Fujinito's like, are you gonna let the aliens steal your golden tower?
No. No, she says, hey, you can't let them steal it. That's humanity's. That's mine.
Yeah, so they're putting ownership on the tower, which if they unearthed it under New York City, I'm pretty sure the U.S. government is immediately going to lay claim to it. But whatever.
Maybe. I don't know how Finders Keepers rules work. They're thieves, so I don't think they care about the U.S. government.
Heck, they're going to have to pay the whole tower's worth of gold to fix New York City. They done tore half it up, but with the tower flying through it.
Are you in Kentucky right now? They done Shut tore up. It up. They done they tore did, up half New York
they
City.
They done did tore it up. Did you see how much building damage there was there?
There's so much rubble everywhere.
And so Lupin does dynamite magic to fly up to the tower, mm-hmm. and he's like, alien lady, let me have my building, and stabs it with a sword or whatever so that the UFO drops it again.
No, yeah, he slices the candelabra in half with Goemon's
right.
sword.
Right, which makes
which,
the tower
like,
fall.
Why couldn't Goemon just have done that?
No, we need Lupin to do it. He's the main character. And so this entire tower falls, and I'm like, great, okay, so now you have a giant tower made of solid gold that probably weighs as much as a meteor, being dropped from low orbit. You've just wiped out a city. Congratulations, Lupin. That's the way I see it.
But it does break apart into a bunch of tiny little pieces.
Great, so you only killed half the city.
And it all falls into the water.
I don't...
And it's cartoon physics.
And they just sort of float home, and Fujino's like, Lupin, I love you, there's gold everywhere, and that's our happy ending.
Yep. That's it.
Fuck, this movie hurt. I was watching it, and I'm like, wow, this isn't great, but it's not that bad. And then I actually talked about it and broke it down, and I realized, yeah, it is.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, it's worse than I... If I hadn't just talked about this movie, I would like it more.
Who wants to roast it first?
Oh, God. Here, I'll go first. This movie sucks. Just don't... It's not even worth your time, really. Nothing cool really happens. There's no mystery that gets solved. Like, it had all the whole concept of it could have been a very cool, like, Indiana Jones adventure-style movie. But no, it's not. So it's boring, and nothing really happens. And Lupin's an ass. So yeah, it's a solid 3 out of 10 from me. That's all that I care to say.
This is an unpleasant version of Lupin, the character. Goemon and Jigen are there because they're contractually obligated to be present.
For some reason, yeah.
Fujino can barely do anything for herself. Lestrade? Fuck. Zenith Stone can't do anything for himself. That's a lie. But he's not clever. He's not a detective. He's the Chase Lupin guy. And get laughed at by the entirety of New York City while also wrangling women because, haha, police women is funny, right? I don't know if that's actually what the joke... I don't think they were going for that joke riff, but it felt like it at times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There was... kind of what you said, there was a lot of mystery that could have been there that they just didn't... like, they could have actually developed on. We get plot points that just sort of drop in out of nowhere 20 minutes into the movie after we just wasted all of it. There's a whole bunch of unrelated segments that feel like they were just kind of stuck together and put as a movie. I can't compare this to Lupin as a whole, given that I've only fully seen one. Yeah. From what I understand about Fuma, from what I understand about Cagliostro, from what I understand about Three the First, this is not good compared to the Lupin-verse. I mean, I think I kind of want to commend it a little bit for, like, trying to take Lupin in a different direction with his characterization. I don't like it. I don't think it was the right choice, but hey, he wanted to break from the mold a little bit, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think it failed hard. I think this show had a lot of what could have been that was just very poorly done. 3 out of 10. Only watch it if you want to compare it to other Lupins to see how to not do it.
Yeah. Yep, that's a pretty solid assessment.
Is this how you felt reviewing Babylon, where you just get angrier and angrier the more you talk about it?
Yep.
I Isn't understand that funny now.
How this is also about Babylon. Yeah, it's... oh, God. Well...
do you want to talk about a good show? Where are we going next week?
Oh, next week, we're going... it's going to be so good. We're going right... right to good old, Is this that studio? Please tell me it is that studio. I can't remember, but we're going to Panty and Stocking!
I've seen half of it. I tried to watch it at your suggestion, but then, like, so many other things never actually got around to finishing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched this back in high school, and I've loved it ever since. So, and I am most likely going to be watching the dub.
I probably will as well. I remember enjoying that.
Yeah, because I think it does have a very good dub. But, like, yeah. Man, I'm excited to... Man, after this, I need something.
Honestly, this... We picked a hell of a way to kick in a new season.
We really did. Unintentionally.
Unintentionally at all. Either way, I'll shill for us real fast. We're on both YouTube and Anchor, and by Anchor, I mean every audio platform that Anchor is connected to. Spotify, Apple Play, Google Play, yada yada, all of the ones. If you're on one platform, feel free to check out the other one to suit your needs. We do get a slight kickback from ad reads on Anchor if you wish to support us. That is theoretically the best way to do it. We also have a donation button set up on Anchor that we don't expect anybody to use, but you are more than welcome to if you feel so inclined. If you do, feel free to DM one of us with, what's the fucking term? Proof of purchase, I guess?
And receipt.
If you want, you can ping us with that, and we'll shout you out on here for being a cool person. You can contact us on our Twitters. I am at TheEpicWob. I post updates regarding this show. You can follow him at SeaweedAMB. He reposts pictures.
Of VTubers. A lot.
A lot of VTubers.
Yeah.
He also has a YouTube channel. It's Seaweed Ambassador. He talks about anime.
Yeah.
Should I be shilling your other show on here?
I don't care. If you would like
He's
to.
He's also on
to.
John in Court, which I think is its own YouTube channel.
It is its own YouTube channel. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a YouTube channel, so don't look for it. It's not there.
One of these days.
Honestly, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. I had a thought earlier today. I just finished watching Loki, and I'm thinking of going back and going through the MCU movie at a time, and I'm considering doing short, like, maybe like 5-10 minute retrospectives on each one as I go through. I think that'd be fun.
Oh, hell yeah. That sounds awesome.
So I might have a channel developed soon, even if it only gets sad little dinky videos on it.
Hey. Better than no content.
Hey, we talked about that at length last episode.
That's true, we did.
Thank you for sticking with us all the way until season 2, honestly. Mm-hmm. And we promise we have better things coming this season than what happened here.
Yeah.
This was atypical, I assure you.
This is the first time this has happened.
Yeah, no, like, we've picked shows that weren't great. We decided to watch Assassin's Pride.
Yes.
But by golly, we had a lot to say about that one. This is the first time we've watched a show and then been like, wow, what was that?
Yeah, that was very...
What is this?
Yeah. So, I guess that'll wrap up this episode.
Wrap up. Yeah, we will be back next week with a proper full-length episode on Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt.
Yep.
Shot of Weeb episode 36. 1 week from today of upload.
Yes.
And we look forward to seeing you then.
Yeah. Have a good week. Bye-bye.